Welcome into episode 176 of Keith and Scruff Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got What's Crack? Review section coming up, Keithney section, me section and the Shopee section. This episode is kindly sponsored from my lovely friend Angela. Scotch Tweed is a small family textiles firm based in the Scottish Borders. Run by Angela with a huge amount of technical and know-how support from her dad, Gerald, they have a wealth of experience in the weaving and textile trades, over 57 years to be exact. Their aim is to bring top-quality tartan and tweed fabric along with other Scottish goods and apparel, including Highland wear, to their customers at the best possible value. Angela is happy to speak to anyone at any time in regards to requirements. If you cannot see what you're looking for on the website, give her a call. The number on the website, www.scotchtweed.co.uk, is a UK free phone number. The website's currently undergoing a wee bit of refurb and update, so not all the products are showing at the moment, but if in doubt, get in touch. To help support the podcast, Angela has provided a discount code for listeners, so quote CCC podcast at checkout and receive a 10% discount anytime. And all the links are with the show notes. So get your cup of tea or your dram and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Hello
section. A sandy hello to new to me, been with me for a while now and been with me forever listeners. I very, very much appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you have escaped and are enjoying yourselves. A sandy hello to new group members, Triscoll Seeker and Janet Barra. Random hellos are to Miss Flashman, Sandra LaRose, Robin, anyone from Texas or the north end of the Caribbean or Florida who's been bothered by hurricanes, and also on the west coast, anyone who's been bothered by wildfires, anyone who's been bothered by Mexican earthquakes or hurricanes, and over in the other side of the world as well, there's some kind of sad stuff going on. So basically, all of yous and any of yous who've turned the news on recently.
What's the crack section?
What's a crack? I mentioned last episode, probably a few times, I was doing a half marathon. I completed it and I actually got a personal best. Just by 10 seconds, but it was quite delayed because I wasn't going for a personal best at all. It was way hillier than I was expecting it to be. I drove the course on the Wednesday and I've realised how hilly it was, but I had been training for hills and it's a really, really, really good run. We kind of did it together, a set out kind of harriers thing, because they hadn't organised it in time to see if it's actually a viable open race. So they were doing it as a the way that we would kind of do a winter trail series run, where they stagger the time, so the slower people go out first and then the faster people cross you and pretty much everybody sort of finishes at the same time. And they wouldn't do this on the day, but it was really good because I kind of know where everybody runs and when you expect them, and there's a lot of encouragement shouted or grunted as you run past each other. And I was running with my good friend Lorna and she was awesome. She's off down to do an ultra marathon in Jedburgh in October and she's doing the Crag Island Triathlon this year. So she's taken over the mantle and then gone some. And she's not fast. So us at the back, go for it. So coming up this weekend, I've got a duathlon to do. It's not a huge duathlon, it's 5k up a hill and downhill and then 20k on the bike and then another 3k. But it's more than enough. And that's down in Lairg. So we're kind of looking forward to going down there on Sunday. In crafty news, I bought British Patchwork and Popular Patchwork. And I've got both magazines for £4.99. And really quite like the Popular Patchwork. It seems to be the more my taste kind of quilts and information. You got two magazines for £4.99 in your packet, which I thought was pretty cool. There's three full-size patterns in the British one and further three plus some templates in the other one. And there's a really nice handbag template and it's a paisley pattern that you embroider on it too, so I'm quite fancy doing that. I'm actually going to use some of my Angela from Scotch Tweed. I bought a kilogram of scraps from her and I ironed them the other day. Oh, it's just really nice. Even just ironing them makes your juices run of creativity and there's just not enough patterns or times in the day. Also, I bought a inserting popper tool. I was trying to think of something that press study type of thing. If you have ever had a child, you probably have put it in an envelope, baby grow, and you pop the bits at the bottom. Well, it's a machine to... Well, it's not a machine. It's like a... It's kind of like a stapler, but to put these in. I don't know what the technical word was. I ordered one off eBay, but they messaged me back and said they broke it. The one they picked up was broken. Refunded my money, and then I ordered one off Amazon. So I had to pick it up from the post office, and I've got it upstairs. Not used it. I probably won't use it for a little while, but I'll let you know when I do. Daisy was doing Wizard of Oz stuff this weekend, and it was absolutely brilliant. For an amateur production, really, 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 really good. There was a huge cast. There was 80 in the cast, and then there was further 30 people for background and casting and or the orchestra. There was quite a few of them. And the Munchkins were brilliant. Daisy's Flying Monkeys were absolutely brilliant. It was really good feel-good factor. So she's absolutely shattered tired still. Quite late nights. But very, very well worth it. We're very proud of them.
The review section.
Review section. Knit scarves and shawls now. And this is a more than 40 scarves and shawls from 21 top designers. It's by Search Press, retails in at £10.99 and has 96 pages. 22 by 23 centimetres and it's a soft cover. I had borrowed this from the library and thought, oh, 40 shawls, howdy doody. I like shawls. I don't mind scarves. There's quite a few scarves in here with bulky yarn. And bulk yarn's not my style because I'm a petite size and I can't get away with huge bulk around my neck. And plus, I don't live in a climate where I would need to have one because when it's midwinter, I want something warm to tuck under my jacket, not put over, because it would get wet or winded lashing into my face with the wind. But if you're in a cold winter climate, then there's some pretty bulky kiddies here for you. And one has a hood, which you might like the requirement for. The techniques are reasonable. They are in picture form and they're not aimed at the beginner knitter because there's no how to knit pictures. You know what? I think that they should have because scarves seem to be what the beginners knit and they seem to should be achievable by a beginner knitter. There are some interesting techniques in the book such as cables, bobbles, modular, brioche, none of which have how to do them pictures at the end. So maybe this is what this book is aiming at. You have some experience of doing these and it's maybe for the knitter who's looking for the next thing. Plus, there's one or two patterns where it didn't seem to give the requirements for the yarn or the needles. And I was muttering to myself and thinking, well, it's not very good. And then I eventually found them on the opposite page where the photograph was. And, I mean, I'm very tidy, but everything else was on the left-hand page and this one... because there was more pattern on the left-hand page. It had been put on the right-hand page. You might have seen it straight away. I didn't. Anyway, I'm just pointing it out. Now, the book, I think, was originally German. The designers I've looked up are coming up as German, but you can get this printed in English, Spanish and German, which is brilliant. I like a multinational publication. Plus, the first pattern is called Upstairs, Downstairs by Nadja Brandt. And on her pattern page, photo and Ravelry looks way better than it does in the book. So I think maybe they've... But sometimes a photograph tells 1,000 words, sometimes it doesn't. But I think it's worth doing your homework on Ravelry. Each pattern only has one page of instructions and one full page of photo. There are charts at the back, but I think you'd be better photocopying them bigger because some of them have 4 charts and diagrams to page and the pattern layout is minimal and kind of small. However, after looking through the book, I thought, I only like a quarter of them for me. And then it made me think, well, who would like this? Who would it be aimed at? And I thought, Mary Woolly Bear. She has the Knitting Dish podcast, and she's often has random yarn, and she says, oh, I just found a cowl or scarf and matched the yarn, and there's something for everyone. Granted, Mary could knit 40 of them and donate 30 to her church sale. She doesn't like, so that would be good. And it's good to have variety. So if that's the thing that you're looking for, that would be good. But 10 of them really were my style. And that's why I wouldn't buy this book. But I could see who could have it and have a lovely home. I heart you, Mary. So if scarves and shawls are your thing, just to rattle through and have a product at the end of the day, then this would be a book for you. I have no idea about the yarns used, because when I looked up the suggested Cyca, that's C-Y-C-A yarn, in the book, Ravelry has never heard of it, and Ravelry don't lie. But I do like the idea of doing a bit of homework, figure out if your stash would work for this. I would use up the old stash I've accumulated over the way, as opposed to the really fancy keep behind the glass smashing emergency stash, but then that's just me. It does suggest that Rowan is the only yarn supplier at the back, so possibly the Cyca yarn might be from Rowan in a different country. There is also a book in this format for socks and hats, and I think that Search Press have maybe just taken this from the source, altered the language for here in Spain. And I then hope that there's no errata, because if you can't speak German or read it, then you might struggle if there is. But maybe worth thinking about. If you're in the market for doing lots of different weights of yarn, scarves and shawls, then this is the book for you. As for me, it went back to the library. So that was Knit Scarves and Shawls Now. And I did have an enjoyable time, and I thought it was enough of a decent book for me to tell you about if you didn't know there was such a thing. So they have them for shawls, scarves, and then there's hats, and then there's socks. So it might be something for you to look out for.
Coming up, it's there.
Coming up. Well, actually, had. Yeah, we all had FOMO for Perth. We hope you had a lovely time. I really do. It did look really good on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all other social media that I was trying to avoid and didn't. But I really, really hope you enjoyed it. It looked great. You've all got some lovely stash enhancement pictures going on. I was quite tickled, and hopefully, in fact, no, I have seen the announcement that it is going to be on 2 days next year. So it's around this date in September next year, so mark your diary if you did not manage the road to Perth. And quite a few of you made your way across the new Forth Road Bridge, or the Queen's Ferry Crossing, or Kevin, as it's been called. There's a comedian in Scotland called Kevin Bridges, and some people are just calling it Kevin after him. And I was speaking to my friend Anne today, who got to walk across it along with lots and lots of other people, and she was absolutely taken with it. So we're looking at her photographs, and a really lovely day that she had for it. Quite fantastic. And civil engineering, hopefully at its best. Also coming up, Cheshire Fibre Festival on the 1st of October with Nick from Yarns for the Plain. And then in November, Festi Wool is Saturday the 11th of November, 10 to 5, in the Priory School, Bedford Road, Hitchin. And that's starring Garden Witch Jean. And then in October, back to October, we're like fast forward, back away, fast forward, back away. But it's the way my notes read, I want to read it this way. The Loch Ness Knit Fest is on the 13th to the 15th of October. But you know what I've told you. Are you going? There's a few of you going. Hannah K. Ross is going for Knit Mastery, so I think I'm going to have to sidle up to her and get her to show me how to do it really quickly. It's going to be really quickly because I'm only about at the lunchtime and I'll have to eat. So maybe I could eat and not talk, and then you could tell me and I might actually listen. Hannah. No? Okay. Because then I'm going to go and sit in Willy Wormhead's pocket in the afternoon. She doesn't know it yet. Hopefully she's got a cool dress that's got pockets on, because I might wear mine. And Hannah, you could sit in my pocket, and then I could sit in her pocket, and it could be like triple pockets. Well, this is good. I like this. Hannah, who are you having in your pocket? Oh, sorry. Oh, you're still there. Yeah. I'm going to say jackdaws, because they're all sitting on my polytunnel, my bear polytunnel. It's got no plastic on it. We went in this weekend and pruned things, and we did it the one time we've done this year. The weeds were about to my nose. But oh, we missed it. We did miss gardening this year. We got 3 apples. We did get a few punnets of strawberries, not enough to make jam because we just ate them. No, is it? Really bad at the gardening this year. But we missed it. I was saying sorry to my plum tree and my apple trees. But my bud layer is looking quite nice. And my bay leaf trees were having a lovely time. They were just loving being neglected in there. So Richard brought them back. Now, people that use bay leaves in cooking, you don't use them every meal, do you? No. Well, I got 3 ice cream tubs full of them after we dried them. We have a dehumidifier. Suzanne Cotton says it was the hipster thing she's ever heard. We have a dehumidifier for making beef jerky because Richard loves beef jerky. He doesn't make it very often, but he loves beef jerky. So, and then also we often have a lot of crop, and it was ideal. We could dry the apples and all the other stuff that we have from a polytunnel. None of that. So I now have as much bay leaf as you could shake a stick at. It was great. I was actually handing loads out today, so I was really enjoying that. I digress. The Loch Ness Knit Fest. I'm doing in the morning two-handed farewell with Catherine Lamar, and in the afternoon I'm sitting in Woolly Wormhead's pocket and turning sideways. I'll be like a little kangaroo. Yes, Woolly. I love you, Woolly. Oh, that's interesting, Woolly. Tell me more. Get out of there and take that Hannah Ross out of your pocket. So I'm going to be in the marketplace at the lunchtime and purchasing one or two things. Possibly needles, possibly some soak, maybe a skein of yarn or two. And catching up with you, lots and lots of hugs. And also what I want to do is find the charity knit along display, because I have been making for stuff like that. So it's the Queen Mother's Clothing Guild, and they give to Women's Aid, Ragmore Hospital, Highland Hospice, Horseback UK, Chas Children's Hospice. And they're looking for hats, gloves, scarves, socks, and this is for men, women and children. And also premature baby clothing, pram or cot blankets, knee rugs, bed blankets. And you could make this in knitting crochet. And also, if you're just a beginner, you could make a simple knitted square or two, and they can put them together and to make beautiful blankets. And there's going to be prizes for most helpful and congenial, most prolific crafter, best team effort, most Highlander, moo cow, themed. Sorry, it's not Highlander cow. I just like to think of Highland cow when it's Highlander themed. And random prize draw. And if you go into the Loch Ness Knit Fest chat on their forum, on the Ravelry group, then you can enter into there. And if you send them first to Loch Ness Knit Fest Limited, 8 High Street, Invergordon, I will have this in my show notes, so you don't need to write it down just now. Because I know you're not. You're probably walking the dog, clean your toilet. Some of you are knitting. Some of you are on the bus. Hello, the bus! Some of you might be on a ferry. Some of you might be in the car. Hello, everybody in the car! Say hello! What, you mean you're not going to speak? Yeah. You. Look at you, looking out the window. I wish that woman would shut up, get on with it. I'm only in here because I've got to be. And he's put it on and I've got to listen. Ugh. Well, anyway, so that's just digressing from this wonderful charity work. I like the charity work very much. It's really nice using stash and getting it somewhere that you know that somebody's going to get a use out of it. And it's made with love and you can pass on the love. And we like our hands to be busy at all times. So if you are going to put something to the charity, please let me know and I can shout you out. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
The beaker section. Me, 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 me!
Right, moving on to the me, 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 me section. Because you know what? Get your own podcast. This is all my podcast. Me. I have been working on my Tunisian crochet paving mitts, when this is a pattern by Twinside Ellen, and I'm using Mode Knit yarn, and this has all the colours of a rainbow, and also using a yellow yarn from Yarns from the Plain. And I just love working on these. I passed the second hand, done the thumb, and I think I need to decrease somewhere, but I really need to read the pattern, which the pattern is on my phone. And I've been doing some amount of sitting, waiting, for flying monkeys or scouts or swimming. So there's been a fair bit of work done in them. And remember I was saying last episode about the boy racers? Well, there was four of them, all different colours, the other day. Moving back, I finished knitting a beanie hat that I was talking about last episode by Janet Russell over Twisted Knitter, and it used sports ply, and you only need 100 yards, so it doesn't take too long or too much, and it's baby bear just right for my wants to use for this yarn. And I used the blacker brushwork sample that I was sent for it. I had to rip out the sample that I had actually knitted up and blocked already, and I have to say, it rips out after you've blocked it beautifully. It just was great. Love this yarn. So this blacker brushwork is coming out the end of September for the birthday. Happy birthday to them! And I hope you've already got your Knit and Goddess sparkle yarn, which loves being crocheted as well. So I still haven't reused that, but I will. So I finished this hat. I'm quite runny around the subject here, aren't I? I'm sort of reading off a script, sort of not. I've had to record this twice, and it's not even about the same time. So I finished that hat and washed it, blocked it, and it's sitting upstairs with my Croft House hat that's ready to be sent off to Invergordon. I don't know if I'm going to have time to make anything else because, oh no, it's just the 12th of September. I've got another month. I might get another hat cast on because the Kirsten Kapoor mystery knit along, which has a name that I can't see, and it is Fugy. Or fog, but fugue, smeed. And Hannah told me how to say it, and it was great. She phonetically did it, but I can't find where she's written it now. And then I was listening to Radio 3 on the way home from taking Daisy home late one night. I thought, well, put this nice classical music on, and then she might be calm. No, there's lots of screaming and tiredness. She cried all the way home the last night, bless her, because she was sad it was finished and just so tired. I don't know why I did this to my child. She loved it, but it's just the late nights. It was a hard thing. Anyway, I'm so digressing today. I'm turning into the twin sets. I digress. I'm on the bind-off row of my Kirsten Kapoor summer shawl. And I have to say, the last section took quite a long time because there's a whack of lace that you do in it. And so I'm on the picot bind off of the shawl, and it's taken as long as a picot bind off takes. I thought you had to quadruple the amount of stitches, but you just have to double. Oh joy. So didn't quite finish it last night. Really looking forward to getting this finished, and I haven't decided if I'm going to give it off or not, because there was a lot of work into it, but then that lot of work, the person who would give it to would know that there was a lot of work in it. I don't know. I'll tell you all about it at next episode more. I did do a tiny bit of work on my Rapunzel Tower socks by Becky Green, and I'm using opal sock wool, blue and grey, and I haven't done an awful lot. I still haven't turned the heel in it, so moving on. I have my spinning wheel back downstairs again, and I finished spinning the silk hanky that I bought from Hilltop Fibres back in the Glasgow School of Yarn years ago now, and I really stuck to my 15 to 20 minutes a day. And remember I said my hands hurt, it woke me up so much. And you think about it, if you only do 15 minutes or half an hour tops of one activity, your little muscles in your hand, they have to get worked up to that. So you really want to have your break and come back, because your little muscles in your little hand don't like it. And they'll wake you up and tell you in the middle of the night. That's not a good thing, and it is the road to ruin. So it's quite a good thing just to sit, put your whatever it is you're listening to me device on for 15 minutes, because you can do that for most of them. And I will turn off. And you think, oh, good, she shut up. And then, oh no, I don't know, we're still hearing about that spinning. I want to hear what happened. And then you, oh, I don't know what it is. Louise sort of suggested that I go make a cup of tea. Or, well, that's enough spinning for today. Or even enough knitting for today, if you've done too much. I did that with the shawl knitting. I really just want this shawl finished. And I was plugging on. I had the time. I was going for it. And the next day, sore hands. So, I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't go out and run 13 miles without doing the legwork beforehand, because you never just go, oh, I'm going to run 13 miles today. You work up to it. I do. You would do so much running through the week, and then you do a long run at the weekend, and then you do so much running at the week, you do a longer run at the weekend, and that's how you work up your half marathon. Or any race. This is how you should do spinning or crafting, because they're just muscles at the end of the day. They're very interesting, and we love you muscles, because they help us do knitting. How's everybody else looking at their hands? What lovely hands you have. Hands are amazing, aren't they? I mean, I saw Daisy's bones on her x-ray. Did I tell you Daisy broke her arm? Can't remember. She got a brain stick. She got a green stick fracture on her left wrist. Thankfully, she's right-handed. And I had to take her to A&E, where we saw she's got a cast until the 27th. And she's very brave, but she fell from a goalpost because she was hanging off pretending she was a monkey. All of Daisy landed on her little wrist, and the sad thing was she doesn't bounce anymore. She's getting bigger. But she learned a very valuable lesson about gravity. Mm-hmm. So I saw all her bones in her hand when I was standing behind the screen when she was getting her x-ray. And fascinating. Absolutely amazing. And about Amanda, Panda, can name them all. Or she used to be able to. Can you do them now, Amanda? Where was I? Because I'm actually fluffing here because I can't find my place. Oh, I know. Right, green silk spinning. I ended up with 300 metres. And I decided I'm going to keep it as a single. I'm not going to ply it because I think it'll be okay in a shawl or a cowl. It won't skew too much is what you're supposed to ply because of the twist in the yarn. And also I don't want to half the length that I've got. I found a lovely pattern for a hat, but I don't think it would be right in a hat. The pattern, I love the stitch pattern in it, but I just don't think there's enough stretch or stretch one way and then not stretch back the other way for a hat in silk, because it would maybe grow. And so I think it wants to be a shawl at some point. It's quite happy sitting in my stash just now, labelled. Remember, people, we spinning, people, we label our handspun, because we, even when we write it up in a book, because I do, I'm quite sad that way, I take a tiny bit off, I stick it on. Well, what do they do? I stick the pen through the piece of paper and then tie a piece of the yarn I've spun in this. It's really technical. I couldn't even be bothered getting up and getting a hole punch to do it. And then I write down where I got it from, how I spun it, what ratio I used, how much yardage I got out of it, anything interesting about it, is it overspun, did you enjoy it, blah, 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 what weight it's supposed to be, and that is my spinning book. And I also have the label of its silk and how much it is, and a date on the skein of yarn. And you also get this feeling of smugness. Right, I got that out, and it's nice, quite like it, looked really quite good in the skein. And then I got some more Hilltop fibre, and it's Shetland, BFL and Romney, and a soya silk, and this is very natural cream and fawny colours. And out of 110 grams, I managed to spin about 80 metres in a chunky weight. And I plied it together, so it's a two-ply. And that's a two-ply, not in weight two-ply, it's a chunky weight, but the plies, there's two plies in this. Because I tend to just do two plies, because I go, that's just the way I spin. But that makes sense in my head. Hello in the car. Yeah, I'm not finished yet. Right, this was lovely to work with, but I'm still kind of over twisting it, and I moved my tension band about, and I've now got some Adelaide Walker BFL Tussa Silk in natural fawn colours. and I'm spinning this a little bit finer and hoping to end up with a double knit weight. And I'm finding it lovely, but it's kind of flyaway, so the fibres go everywhere. But I'm just enjoying the spinning. And it better be, because Valerie remembered and she took me the fleece. And she said it is a Shetland textile cross. So I think that's a mule now. And she says it was the one that they wouldn't put to the... the wool board wouldn't take. So she says she doesn't know how much of it is any use, but if it's not put to the compost. Hopefully I'll get something nice out of it. And yeah, it'll not go to waste. I really don't like prepping for fleece, but I like spinning, so I'll just leave it upstairs for a while. It's in a black bag, I haven't even looked at it. Right, into the library corner. I finished Daisy's Hatful of Sky, and we are now on to the next book, The Wintersmith, and it's proper Knack McFeels this time. It's the pursing of the lips, the tapping of the feet, and the folding of the arms.
The Caithness section.
On to the Caithness segment. Right. I was uber good parent the other day and I went into school 3 days on the trot. First day just to do admin in the school, who's laminating and tidying up and organising the library and stuff. And then the second day we went to Caithness Horizons to the Caithness Broch Trail. And they had a presentation by an archaeologist who's really quite good with the bairns. And she had a whole pile of little workshops that the bairns could split into groups and do. And a broch... Where's my piece of paper that tells you what a broch is? Yeah, here we are. 2,000 years ago, Caithness was home to over 200 Iron Age buildings known as brochs. Unique to Scotland, brochs were huge dry stone towers built by a mysterious group of people. Their purpose is still debated, defensive or status symbols. Now many of the brochs have disappeared, but several still stand, silent sentinels of the land of Caith. And there's a group of people who got together, and they're kind of archaeologists, I think, and they're trying to make the brochs a bit more accessible and preserve them in Caithness. There are over 200, so it could be a really wonderful trail or a spotting thing. Sort of like, if you were a hill walker, you'd go Monroe Bagging. So if you were a broch spotter, you could go and look at all the different brochs, because a lot of them, there's maybe three together, so you could do three in one morning, really. There's one at Caith, which is right beside the cemetery, and we saw it from the air when somebody started up a drone business in Caithness. And it looks just like the shape of the Millennium Falcon. So we drive past it. Oh, there's a Millennium Falcon broch. Okay, must go and have a look at it. You obviously have to be very respectful of the land laws and farmers if there's any livestock in the fields, because these brochs are in fields. Some of them have crops in them. And it's amazing that there are actually anything left of them, because, well, if I was a farmer, I'd probably just clear it and use the stonework for farm stuff. And so in Scotland you have access to roam, but you can't go into people's gardens, and you have to respect the rules of the countryside. So if there's a gate shut, shut the gate behind you. Never leave a gate open if you have found it shut. Farmers are not going to tell you off. They'll just ask you what you're doing, and then you just say, well, I'm cautious. I know that there's coos over there. It'd be all right if I just feel go around this side. And they'll say, If there's a beast in the field, it's not a happy beast. He might tell you, well, I wouldn't personally go around here, my dear. That's probably what they say. But if you're friendly and you say, oh, I'm trying to follow this broch stuff, you could have a new friend. Anyway, we were in there, and the archaeologist, she had the bairns. They had one of the sieves, and they had to sieve through some sand, and then she'd put some little objects that they'd found. And they had to identify them, and then they looked under the microscope at some seeds that they would have found, and they had to identify them. Then they had some stone and pestle, a pestle and mortar. It's basically a big pebble and a bit of marble type of thing. And she'd given them some barley, and it was how you would make flour. But in the broch Iron Age day, they had figured out how to do a little mill, which was called a quern. And it was much, much faster of way of making flour, so it gave them more chance to do farming and also make these broths. And then they had these some upside down buckets that they had some stonework printed around the outside, which was brilliant. And she said they didn't know how the roofs, oh, there goes my fan on my computer, a Hydro fan. They don't know how the broch roofs were made, so they gave children all sorts of different twigs and bits of willow and bits of faux leather, or, and they had them trying to make a roof. And they also suggested that the fire inside wouldn't have had a hole in the roof and it would have smoked the fish. So that was a thing that was quite interesting. And then she had, and this was where I came in, she didn't know where it was coming, but they must have known how it was coming. They had a bag of fleece and a whole pile of carders and a whole pile of drop spindles. So she showed how to do it, and she says, and then it would go into this, and you just basically twist it. I had, because I just stayed at that bit, all the children carding. It's funny, some of them were just like, bruh, bruh, really tough, bruh, look at me, how strong I am. I was just saying, well, you don't need to be quite so strong, but, you know, if it works for you. So they carded it, made their roulag, or their sausage, cheesed it out just a bit, and then I attached it to, or I showed them, if you just twist it, there's your rope or your thread or your wool, and that's how you would make it. And then, look, here I'll attach it to the drop spindle, which they were all fascinated with. And I had them just twisting it, and between us all, we made quite a lot of yarn, crap yarn, but yarn. And some of them, I left them to each other. Liam was twisting on the spindle while Lexi was feeding out the fleece. I was proud of them. And then we got to go upstairs and see what the other children got to do, and then they all went, oh, because there was lots and lots of computers with Minecraft, and they were doing Minecraft around a broch. But disappointed. But they were all hands-on, and they got dirty, and they were happy. And then they had a Lego broch. And it's a company that does historic buildings, and they've done a historic building of a broch, and it's the area around it. He lifted off the roof, and he had little plastic Lego fish hanging, being smoked from the top, and then he opened up the door, and you could see the layers, because there's three, possibly four layers, floors in the brochs, and they weren't sure about the if they had stairs in them or how they would get upstairs, and it was all very, very interesting. So that is the Caithness segment. If you ever come to Caithness and you want to look up brochs, there's plenty of them.
Hello, hello.
That's not what we start with.
I know, I'm testing it. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3.
It works, it's fine. I think they're weak, Richard.
Right. Turn it off then.
Oh, that's good. I'm keeping that.
What?
We're drumming.
Hope you like drumming.
Why am I singing? Hello, listeners. Welcome into this episode of The Drams. And this episode sees us drink a 10-year-old Giannich single malt whiskey.
Excuse me.
Yes. What?
I'm poorly. This is a medicinal one for me.
Oh, this is Richard, by the way. Newer listeners, this is Richard. This is my husband. And he's helping me do the whiskey tasting.
I may last. I'll try and last to the end of the podcast.
Oh. He's not that poorly. Right, could you pass me the bottle? There's no box or tub with this, but the bottle itself is...
traditional.
Ye old-fashioned traditional. Nothing remarkable about the bottle shape at all. There's one wee embossed bit at the back. No idea what that would be for.
There must be a proper name for that design of bottle.
Oh, we could do some research, but then the listeners would know that we were lying.
I prefer hands-on research.
And it's Highland Single Malt Scotch Whisky. It's on a cream label with black writing, and it's got really, really lovely little design of some dolphins.
Porpoises.
A beg your pardon, I hadn't read.
Read the words.
The Cromarty Firth is one of the few places in the British Isles inhabited by porpoise. They can be seen quite regularly swimming close to the shore, less than a mile from Chiernach Distillery. Founded in 1817 in Ross-shire, town of Alness, the distillery is now one of the largest in Scotland. Chiernach is an assertive single malt with a spicy, smoky, satisfying taste. 43% volume at 70 centilitres, aged 10 years. Drink responsibly for people.
I would say you were probably right about the dolphins, because dolphins do like to chase porpoise.
I thought you would say cheese whiskey.
Well, you never know.
So, the colour in the bottle, we have got 2 inches left in that bottle. But it's okay, listeners, we have another one. Right.
Well, we can explain how we came about these bottles as well, because it's not really sold in the shops, this stuff.
No. Colour? Oh, no, that's...
A bit too light for a...
Ming and Winnie the Pooh. That's too light for Chewbacca.
Too light for Chewbacca?
Yeah.
It's not far off.
No.
It's been so long.
Well, it has, yes. That's definitely a golden Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, we'll go for golden Winnie the Pooh.
Right.
What does Piglet have to say about this?
Piglet's pink, he's not involved in this.
Yeah, no, but he would know about such matters.
Are you going to pull the whiskey, dear?
You get the cork first.
Oh, right.
Ooh.
Ooh, resounding emptiness. A wee sniff of the golden nectar. Sounds fair. Even though we're just sniffing it. Oh, that's a lovely flavour. Yeah, smell lovely. To it.
I'm getting a kind of almondy.
Yes.
Not as strong as marzipan, but almondy kind of smell.
Mm-hmm, so am I. There's still a harshness to it, though. You can kind of get
there is a harshness to it.
Acetine part of the background. Water. He's drinking it already, listeners. Come on, you put a good scalp of water in this one. And we know that how?
I'm ill. I need to get the medicine down me.
Well, get a bit of water in yet so you can keep yourself hydrated as well. A decent scalp of water, listeners.
We've learnt this. Rigorous research.
It'll taste better with it in.
Aye, I've got about 50-50 there.
You've not.
We never swirled it.
Oops, too late.
But recent research does dictate that it does swirl quite well.
Right, yeah. Colour in the glass is a light Winnie the Pooh.
Winnie the Pooh, at a distance. Although the listeners can't see me looking wistfully to the distance.
Okay, listeners, pretend you're looking at Richard looking into the distance.
Nice. Needs a good scalp of water, but it's lovely. Flavours?
Whiskey.
There's a sort of subtle sharpness, but not an unpleasant sharpness.
No. Kind of... It's interesting in the back of your throat. Kind of fiery. Did it say fiery? It did, didn't it? Fiery taste.
Spicy, smoky, satisfying taste.
Spicy, I would agree with the
I'm
spicy.
I'm not getting the smokiness as such.
I don't know, the fire's on for the first this winter.
After summer, spicy, definitely. Leathery kind of taste as well.
Maybe that's what
tannin. They... Tannin, is that tannin? Leathery tannin. I'm not getting the smoky at all. But what I'll do in a second, look up the taste notes on the internet as well. Aftertaste, kind of creamy kind of taste I get.
Was it?
Yeah, I do.
Right, so the area that this is from.
You explain, I'll look this up, you explain about how we came to acquire these two bottles.
I was going to if you shut up and did your thing.
I'll do my thing.
Well, do your thing.
Don't hassle the afflicted.
So, listeners, one day Richard said to me, "Do you fancy going to a distillery tour?" I turned to him and said, "Meh," because we've never done this so far. And he said, "There's a distillery here and it's having an open day and it's in the summer holidays. We could tie it in. We'll go into Inverness, get the school stuff." So we tied it in when we went down to Embo. I mentioned this a couple of episodes back. and we did the distillery tour of Chionanach. And the distillery is actually called Chionanach Distillery, and it's not an open distillery to go visit like a lot of them have visitor centres. It's a working distillery, so basically it's a factory making
whiskey.
Very
industrial.
So it's an industrial site. You had to treat it as such.
Awesome. It's like work.
It was very technical. And the guy who took us round, very interesting. It's managed by a female and it's owned by Diageo.
Yes.
And
who also owned Oban.
Ah, right. So they produce lots and lots of whiskey and it's used in various blends such as the famous Grouse. But they also sometimes do some bottlings, and the distillery's been about and handed over from whoever owned it to other people, and then eventually Diageo own it now. And we got to look into the control centre. We got to look inside the mashing things. Oops. And we followed the process from where the barley comes in to where the whiskey would come out. And they don't have any bonds there, I don't think.
No.
It all goes somewhere else and is bonded there.
For blending, mostly.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only one that they... But I think they do... This is the only one you can really get, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Flora and Fauna.
I would agree with that. So we bought a couple of bottles and they also gave tastes at the end.
How much was a bottle?
I can't remember.
£40.
£40 a bottle.
And on the internet, the cheapest I can get it off the internet is £46.84 plus postage and packaging.
And the people on the distillery tour were very nice.
Very nice.
Quite a thing to go on a distillery tour. Did you notice?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there were some serious people there.
Yeah.
People from other distilleries, people collectors,
mm-hmm.
and us.
With two children.
With two children looking bedraggled after camping for two nights.
But I find it very interesting and...
Extremely.
You find it very, very interesting.
Very accommodating as well with all our questions. I was the only one asking questions.
No, you weren't. There was other people asking questions.
Okay, about the process.
You were asking about the machines, but it was a tour for everybody.
Hmm.
And on the next tour, I was hearing them talking, and some of the whiskey geeks were talking about, oh yes, and I've got the only bottle of X, and oh, I've got the only bottle of Y, and I thought, oh wow, these people are real. Well, I'm not going to tell them anything about our drams, because they wouldn't like it, I don't think.
Well, it's each to their own.
Yeah, I know. And they looked like they were enjoying themselves. People had come from
It's like having a really expensive car and keeping it in a garage and not driving it, just so you can go and look at it, rather than getting in a car and driving it.
Well, it's horses for courses. I believe in using as much as you possibly can, because you cannot take it with you.
Exactly.
And enjoying it as well. Mm. So, have you thought of who you're going to have round for a dram?
Not quite.
Oh, I'm not actually finished talking about the area. The distillery is in a little place called Alness, and there is another big distillery there called Dalmore. Richard loves Dalmore. And it's kind of an industrial kind of wee town. There's a historical part to it, but most of it was built in the 60s, I think, and 70s. For the oil boom, for the nearby Nigg and Invergordon ports where they serviced the oil industry. My father actually worked in both places. So Alness is on the way down towards Inverness. It's not very far at all. And it's a place that we have been through and stopped on many occasions, mostly at the Morrisons. It's quite a pretty little area. It's quite rural. They always have fantastic barley fields. So Alness, and on the way to Inverness. I think
it's kind of a place you don't really stop in unless you have reason to. I bought some stainless steel from a sheet metal worker in Alness.
Mm-hmm, that's how we
know
got
it delivered down.
Distillery was.
Yeah. Anyway, I've got some stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
There is only one bottle that I can find that they do. The rest goes for blending, mostly with Johnny Walker and the Hague. Chionanach, 10-bottle note, a rare 10-year-old from the Eastern Highland Distillery. Chionanach, the Flora and Fauna series are becoming increasingly rare.
Ooh, better drink it quicker.
Mm. Tasting note by the chaps at Master of Malt, which is a website that sells the stuff. The nose is quite fragrant with fruit and a greenness, notes of cut hay and chamomile, hints of wood, resins and potpourri, with a little winter spice and a gentle citric acidity. The palate is of medium body with pleasant dryness. It's quite dry. Yeah, go with that. There are notes of barley, sugars and cereal notes. There are some oily herbal notes, I will go with that, with some more of that citric acidity developing with a hint of espresso. Nah.
Mm.
The finish is quite dry, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and of medium length with its gentle cut grasses.
I'll go with most of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not Famous Grouse, it's The Hague.
It's The Hague and
Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker,
oh.
And it's this, the reviews it's got are very good.
Well, I would, yeah.
It's a nice drum. Mm. Obviously, it's my favourite, but it's one I would have to refer back to an occasion, maybe?
I wouldn't buy it again.
No?
No.
No.
It's not up there with my favourite ones.
No.
But I'm certainly going to help you drink that other bottle. Because we bought two.
Because it is quite rare. Well, we could always keep that one.
That's not going to happen. Because next time I've got a cold or you've got a cold, we'll be finding a hot toddy.
You
cooking
whiskey for that, though. You can't really do hot toddies with proper drafts. You gotta have cooking whiskey for that.
Well, I see that. So, who are you going to invite for your dram?
We were talking the other day about my granddad.
Yeah.
On my mum's side.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was thinking the memories of him because he died when I was quite young, and he was a bit of a character, very quiet, very very quiet and sort of measured kind of dude, and he had quite a lot of adventures when he was alive in the war, and. After, and I don't think he ever drank. I don't ever remember him drinking, but I do remember him smoking. And my granny always saying, "No, he doesn't smoke. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't smoke." And we used to go out and sit in the shed with him while he'd have a smoke. And then he dredged his pond and then found all the stuff he got given in the war because he was special home guard.
Mm-hmm.
So he had like
that's army.
Well, a bit more than that. They were the ones that were specialist. And there was mines and machine guns and gun belts and stuff.
All right.
We found all bits of it. Mm-hmm. So that the MOD came in, because he just chucked it on the pond after the war. As he did, I suppose, in them days. And then he used to play football with us and run up and down hills with us. He was fighting fit. He worked in a farm. And it was when we were watching that thing about milk.
Oh.
And it was like a dairy farm as well as a crop farm. And we used to go and milk cows with him. Like with the big machinery stuff, and he used to give us a little bit to drink straight off the coo,
mm-hmm.
which was really like full fat, unpasteurised, warm, and probably very bad for you. But it was.
Well, you're still here.
It was an adventure at the time. So, yeah. There cool. Who are you inviting?
Hey, I think I'm going to have my taste alert as ladies.
Very good.
Just because.
Would I be allowed in the room? I wouldn't get a word in edgeways.
No. You're staying out the room for this one.
I don't think all of them would drink, though, I get the impression.
You don't have to actually drink whiskey for a dram.
No.
It's magical.
It's magical. It's the company and the experience.
So, I said I wouldn't buy this again. Did you say you would?
I would have it again.
Mm-hmm.
I would. I don't dislike it. Like you say, it's quite a unique kind of flavour to it.
Mm-hmm. It's more about the experience that we had that day.
Oh, it was great.
Oh, and at the end they had a guy that was a cooper, and he did a demonstration on how to do cooperage.
A cooper who became a copper,
and then
got paid off being a cooper, became a copper, which is a policeman, and then when he retired from the police service, he went back to doing cooper demonstrations, and that was his first one. And he was brilliant. He was really good talking to everyone.
Mm-hmm. My great granddad was a cooper, but for fish, in Wick.
Cool.
Way back.
That's a fairly unique skill.
Mm-hmm.
So they had all his tools and everything.
That must have been pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it was quite an interesting thing because not everybody would get to go to that. You couldn't just tip up and go in because it's an industrial site. So I think I would leave you to that one the next time.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been offered by my mate Patty Steeman, who works at Oban Distillery, that he said he'd try and get us on a tour.
Oh, we're going down there soon.
We're going down in a fortnight.
Don't know whether we'll have time, but
Sunday. He might not be working Sunday, no.
I don't really know if I fancy drinking whiskey in the Sunday morning. And that's the whole point, because we can take the bus in and the bus home.
Yeah, well, okay. Next holidays.
Maybe next time. Aye, and we can compare and contrast. Okay, right, okay. So all that remains to say is Sláinte.
Sláinte, thank you, Va.
Shoppy section.
On to the shoppy section. The shop has currently got, less than I thought, a black watch and a red McGregor. And if you want one, I've got a list of what tartans that I have. If you feel you want to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, but get stuff back as well, then please do visit etsy.com/shop/cadencecraft. Or you can support the podcast and get nothing back if that is one. And you do that by my PayPal address, which is... This is a new thing. I went onto my PayPal app the other day and it came up with, you can do this now. I don't know what it is. But the PayPal address that you can get me at, paypal.me/cadencecraft. I'll put it in the show notes if you want. And also, I'm happy to review patterns, books, notions, if you're in that line, so do not be shy. If you want something shouted about to other people on the bus or other people stuck in the car, you're still stuck in the car, aren't you? Yeah, 5 miles to go.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
I will go into the blah, blah, blah section. Thank you very much for listening, especially you that haven't done it on choice. I really appreciate you and whoever it is that downloaded it and then listens to me splat on. I would like to add that all my opinions are mine. I really get them wrong sometimes. I forget things too. So don't do it on purpose. It's just the way I am. My email is caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt, Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram and Facebook as caithnesscraft. I'm trying to use Facebook a fair bit more. You can get the podcast from Podbean's site as www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com. The music was from Free Music Archive and is called Entertainment for the Brain Dead by a Friend. Thank you for listening and keep on crafting. You've all got love. Shut up.